All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of Canucks Conversation, brought to you, as always, by the 2024 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. And of course, we are coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for your next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. Massive episode today. Look at that. Bag Milk is so on top of things. He might not actually be ready to join us, and he's not joining us for a bit here, but Bag Milk's already in the studio. He's logging all of the points that we're going to say in our opening segment about Canucks versus Oilers. Folks, this is the mega preview episode of Canucks Conversation. You're going to get vibes. You're going to get analytics. You're going to get probably some Pierre-Luc Dubois hate sprinkled in there.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Find a way. I will find a
That's
way.
That's just assumed.
Yeah, it's just assumed. It's just assumed because it is a day that ends in Y, and it is an episode of Canucks Conversation. It is the mega preview episode of Canucks vs. Oilers. And shout out to Grady, our producer, Grady Sass, who capitalized mega preview. I like that. That's a nice touch.
Mega.
You know what? Here's my complaint about computers. I'll give you a right off the top, Harm. You should be able to, or we should all be able to, take text, highlight it, and hit caps lock and capitalize all that. Why can't I do that?
It's a really useful feature.
There has to be a website that does that. If it's not, TM, right now. I just trademarked it.
But then again, I never all caps things anyway.
You don't? Well, what about the reverse? Do you ever get stuff in all caps? Because I'll tell you what, I got a script today. We've got a new sponsor on today's show. I got a script today that's in all caps. And it's all capitalized, which I guess I said. And I went to go change it. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? The only way would be to rewrite it out.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you're right.
Right?
Inefficient.
So, totally inefficient. So now I just have this one script that's all capitalized.
Side tangent, this is the first time your stash is actually noticeable.
Well, it hasn't grown much since yesterday.
It's actually noticeable in the right light here. I don't know if the viewers can see it, but it's like as you were talking, I was like, boy, that facial hair is actually coming in a little bit.
Do you like it? Is it growing on you? Is it growing on you more than it's growing on me?
Harmon is now a spinning wheel.
Put me full screen while you fix it so people can see the stash in all its glory. And for those in the podcast, you know who Tom Selleck is? Just picture him when he was like 8 years old. It's coming. I don't like it though. It's going. Like, I am going to shave this.
Yeah. I understand why you don't love it.
Doesn't look good. I've heard the jokes about how I can't walk past an elementary school anymore without getting targeted. Okay, where were we? Mega preview episode of Canucks Conversation. Let's get to the Canucks versus Oilers preview. I was going to do a four wins read, but Grady's fixing your camera, so we can't do it yet, but we will do it in a sec. I'll tell people all about the four wins beer of the day that we're going to talk about, because this segment is brought to you by our friends over at Four Wins Brewing, but I'll tell you about them later. Harmon, let's talk. Let's talk Canucks versus Oilers. It's the mega preview episode. I can't get enough of that. I can't say that more. I can't say that enough. It's my favorite thing to say. I'm very excited about it. It's the mega preview episode of Canucks Conversation. And like I said, it is brought to you by our friends over at Four Wins Brewing. Man, I'm really putting Grady through the grinder here. The Grady grinder. Grady, can we get the four wins? There it is. Okay, beautiful.
Harm is now a black screen.
We'll fix it.
We'll get it.
Yeah.
There he is.
There he is. Great. Okay. This segment is brought to you by our friends over at Four Wins Brewing, more specifically their Featherweight IPA. If you're looking for a nice hoppy beer but still want something light and flavorful, then look no further than the Four Wins Featherweight IPA. At just 4.5%, this incredibly light IPA is packed full of tropical and citrusy goodness. Available now at liquor stores across BC or through the Four Wins online shop for home delivery anywhere in British Columbia at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Okay, Harm, mega preview. Can't say it enough. We got to get a counter of how many times I'm going to say it on this episode. I'm excited about this series. I'm becoming increasingly more convinced that it's going to be the best series of the playoffs so far.
I would disagree with that just because I think Dallas, Colorado is going to be an absolute barn burner, but I'm really hyped for this series.
I also thought Dallas, Vegas was a very good series.
It was excellent.
Yeah. Your camera's off again.
I think it's saying I've got internet issues with StreamYard for some reason.
That's okay. You're here. Folks on the podcast will enjoy it. It's all the same to them. So let's get to it. I like this. There's some comments about some facial hair. There's some comments about Pierre-Luc Dubois. Oh, and Sean Barber saying you can switch the case to anything in Word. You can do what I just said. You know, like the cap lock thing. So that's interesting. That's really interesting. Okay. Oilers Canucks. Mega preview. I am looking at this matchup, and the simplest way to break down any series, break down any matchup, is to say, okay, who has the better forwards? I think top end, the Oilers do. I also think there's a case to be made as a whole with the way the two teams have played through their first series of the playoffs and down the stretch that the Oilers have the better all-around forward group. Because I think there's a lot of Canucks fans out there saying, yeah, the Oilers have McDavid, they have Draisaitl, but the Canucks have better four lines. Not the case, I don't think. Ryan McLeod, that's his name, right? Ryan McLeod? Yeah. He's been great defensively all season long. He's had really good results. I may not know his names, but I know that his results have been really good on the defensive end. So I'm looking at it and saying, okay, I wouldn't be so quick to say, okay, yeah, as a whole, the Canucks forward group is better than the Oilers, even if the Oilers have those two guys at the top.
Yeah, definitely. Especially because Holloway has picked up 2 goals in 5 games. He's on that third line with McLeod. And Corey Perry in the playoffs is always
a factor.
An engine in the bottom six, right? He's disruptive. He's annoying to play against. And look, I'd still take Vancouver's third line on paper over Edmonton's third line. But I think the difference with Edmonton's top end, the gap there is greater than the edge that the Canucks might have with their third line, for example.
Okay, so who are you calling the Canucks third line? Are we talking Pettersson, Hoglander, Mikheyev? In terms of matchups, I think we are.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
So would you take that third line over McLeod?
Yes. Yeah.
You would take it.
Pettersson needs to step up, right?
That's like, what I was about to say is, would you take it right now with how those two lines played in the first series? I don't think so. I think the McLeod line was stronger against LA than the Pettersson line was against Nashville. I think Pettersson's results came when he wasn't with those players.
True, but at a certain point, you have to bet on talent, right?
Do you? Like, because that's the topic of our poll question that we're going to get to
later. Here's the thing, like, we can discuss execution, but on paper that's still a better line.
Yep.
Pettersson, sure. Right, and put it this way, it'll be a massive disappointment if the Pettersson line, because here's what we're imagining. Games one and two, the Canucks will have last change, how they might dictate the forward matchups. Sure. Miller had a lot of success against McDavid head-to-head in the regular season. You'd expect that power-on-power matchup. And then considering the success that Lindholm had against the Drysdale line the last time these two teams met, and how Tocchet has been confident using the Lindholm line in secondary matchup roles, probably going to have the Lindholm line out there against Drysdale, and then you're freeing up the Pettersson line to do some damage offensively. In round one, that obviously didn't come to fruition, but it has to come to fruition now. That's the only way the Canucks win their depth minutes, because you're right. In round one, the Canucks were as top-heavy as the Oilers were, because we referenced how few shots on goal and actual goals the Canucks generated when the Miller line was off the ice, when Quinn Hughes wasn't on the ice. So that's a major X factor, is can Vancouver's middle six come through to ensure that they have the deeper forward group? Because right now, based off round one, the answer is that the Oilers decisively have a better forward group.
Okay, so where I was going with this was, when you break down any matchup, the first thing you're going to look at is, okay, who has the advantage at forward? Who has the advantage at defense? Who has the advantage in goal? And I think we agree that it is the forward group of Edmonton that has the advantage. Do we also agree that the Canucks have the edge on defense, and that it's a bit of a coin flip when it comes to the netminders,
yes,
with a slight advantage to Artur Shelov's? Maybe you're not there.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say that I like Vancouver's blue line better than Edmonton's.
Yep.
I think I'd look at their top pairs pretty similarly. Mm-hmm. I think Quinn Hughes is way better than Evan Bouchard. However, I also think Matthias Ekholm is way better than Filip Ronek.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. Yep.
It kind of, as a whole, and you look at the Ekholm-Bouchard, their numbers as a pair, dominant.
Yeah.
One of the best defense pairs in the NHL. And that's even in their minutes away from McDavid, right? Because a lot of people will say, well, they're sharing the ice with McDavid. Of course, their numbers are dominant. Well, their results don't fall off a cliff by any means in non-McDavid minutes. That top pair is legit, but then you get to the bottom four, and that's where Nurse CeCe has been up and down as a defense pair. Last year in the Vegas series, for example, round two, they were outscored 7-2 at 5-on-5. That was the weak link for them on the back end in the top four. Rough start for them in round one as well, in terms of the underlying numbers. And then Kulak, Desharnais, it's a fine third pair, but Cole and Zadorov were dynamite as a third pair in the first round series against Nashville.
Okay, so we're trying to figure out why the thumbs up keeps popping up on the screen. Really don't know the answer, but we'll figure it out eventually. But new camera angle for those in the YouTube live show.
It's an Apple thing with the laptops. It's a weird integration with iOS.
That's really funny. Oh, yeah, you can do that on FaceTime now. Did you know that? If you do, like, heart hands. Yeah, see, look at your screen. You see that?
Mine doesn't work because the internet is off, but I see it on your screen.
I'm going to do this when you start giving takes. I'm just going to throw it out there. Okay, anyways.
Yeah, hearts, right? Because I'm always right.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Of course. Yeah, Pierre-Luc Dubois, just give it the broken heart. I'm not sure if you can do that. But anyways, okay. We're going to be joined by Bag Milk in a matter of moments here. Actually, let's get to Bag Milk. We can continue talking about the Canucks versus Oilers with him, obviously, but also in anyone else. This is the Mega Preview episode, folks. No squirrel talk today. No squirrel talk today. It's all Canucks versus Oilers. These two teams meet tomorrow. We'll have another preview episode as well of the game itself. Game one. This is a series preview. Game one itself tomorrow. But let's get to him. Let's get to Bag Milk, who is brought to you by our friends over at Greta. Bag Milk will be at Greta. He is flying out tomorrow morning. Going to be a good time. Going to be a good time. Bag Milk and the entire Oilers Nation crew are going to be at Greta. And hey, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. If you're a Canucks fan, make sure you get out there. Represent. Bag Milk, brought to you by Greta, home of our electric watch parties. Make Greta your spot pregame, postgame, and of course during the game, whether the Canucks are at home or on the road. Just a 10-minute walk from Rogers Arena. Eat, drink, and play at Greta Bar YVR. And of course, all of the away games, Free watch parties at Greta for all the Canucks Army listeners. So
hype.
Get out there. Our watch parties have been fun. They've been a lot of fun. Yeah, so get out to Greta. All right, let's get to him. Bag Milk of Oilers Nation. There he is. Bagged, thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to start on a heater here. Your series prediction right off the top.
Oilers in six. Let's ride.
Oilers in six. Okay, here's a question for you then. If this series goes to seven games and the Canucks are on home ice, do you think Oilers in seven? Or are you saying, okay, if the Oilers can't get it done in six, is it Vancouver in seven?
You will never get me to flip the other way, Quads. You know this. I'm incredibly biased. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not biased here. I'm here to provide an Oilers angle on this series. Oilers in five, Oilers in six, Oilers in seven. What doesn't matter to me? Whatever it is. No, but to be real, I think the series is going to go long. I don't think that this is going to be a quick one no matter what happens. So there's two very good hockey teams that are going to be going head-to-head. A lot of skill throughout the lineup on both sides. So I think this is going to be a hell of a series. But of course I'm going to be biased in my answer, Quads. You know this.
Before we poke holes and ask you about some of the weaknesses and concerns on the Oilers roster, we'll give you a chance to say some nice things about your team over there. What's the strength of the Oilers or an area that they've improved under Chris Knobloch that Canucks fans that maybe don't watch the Oilers on a night-to-night basis would not know about?
I think that the biggest one, to be honest, would be probably the defensive zone coverage. They've really simplified their D-zone coverage. They've gotten a lot better at clogging up the middle. If you think back to the Vancouver series against Nashville, Nashville did a really good job of clogging up the middle, not necessarily giving them any opportunities from the key scoring areas. Well, not that many anyway, right? And I think that was a lot of what you're going to get again from the Oilers in round two. I think that their defensive structure has gotten a lot better under Chris Knobloch. The special teams, specifically the PK, has improved very, very greatly under Chris Knobloch. So I think those are the two areas that are most evident when it comes to the Oilers and improving under Chris Knobloch. But again, they were so bad in the regular, like in the first part of the regular season. The first three meetings against the Canucks were just a complete disaster from the Oilers' perspective. Everything that could have gone wrong probably did go wrong, and they got absolutely pummeled in those three games. From November 12th, when Knobloch was hired to come behind the bench, it's been a very, very different Edmonton team. I think that they're a lot more structured than they would be. Than they were previously. But again, in the playoffs, I think that there's going to be a lot of things that change just from game to game. I think that the playoffs are a lot more of a chess match than the randomness that is the regular season at times. So I think probably both sides, we're going to see a bunch of adjustments even from game to game, because as they kind of feel things out, move through games and into the later part of the series, it's not going to be probably the same as what we get tomorrow night in game one. Even going back to the Oilers' first round series against LA, the series changed a lot as the games went along. The Oilers got a lot better defensively. They really limited LA's ability to get to the center of the ice. And that was kind of some adjustments that got made in the D zone as the series rolled along. So I'm kind of expecting more of the same against the Canucks. And tomorrow is going to be a big game. It's going to be, we'll see where it goes, but under Knobloch, that whole defensive side of the puck has improved significantly.
Okay, so with this series, Bag Milk, the way we're all looking at it in Vancouver and the way we're talking about it, I was on Oilers Nation every day yesterday. And
what was your prediction yesterday, Quads? I missed it. What did you say was going to be the series winner yesterday on Oilers Nation every day?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. So did I say seven or six for Oilers? What did I say?
Six.
Okay, so This is how I'm thinking about this series now. Because yesterday, throughout Vancouver in seven, I think it's going to be Vancouver if it goes seven games. That's why I asked you that question earlier, was I think if the Oilers are going to win the series, it's going to happen in six games. If it goes to a game seven, I think the Canucks win on home ice. And I saw Jeff Patterson talking about this yesterday as well. I think it's going to be enough of an advantage. Home ice advantage is going to be enough for the Canucks to get it done if it goes to seven games. So this is my prediction. I know I can't do two, so obviously I'm sticking with Vancouver in seven, but if the Oilers are going to win this series, which by all sports books, by all indications, they should win this series. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in six games, unless it's like five or four. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think if this goes to seven games, the Vancouver Canucks will come away as the winners. So my question for you, Bag Milk, is actually kind of about that, is the way a lot of us are looking at this series here is, okay, obviously the Oilers are the better team on paper. They're being favored, as I said, by every sports book. Everybody thinks they're going to be the winners of this series. the only way the Canucks win this series is a bunch of ifs. If Elias Pettersson can step up and make it a lopsided advantage at even strength. If Artur Shelovs can keep playing the way he did against Nashville and be a star in net. Like, he won them that game six against Nashville. If they can stay out of the box, if the penalty kill's good. A lot of ifs on the Vancouver side based on the matchup against the Oilers and specifically what happened in the first round. So my question for you, Bag Milk, and I know it's long-winded, so I apologize, but my question for you is, what ifs or question marks were there in the Oilers opening round series against the LA Kings that Oilers fans are looking at and saying, okay, this is an if that we need, or this is a question mark that we have after the first series against LA?
So I don't know that I'm going to necessarily compare the Oilers' first round against LA to what's going to come against the Canucks, just because I think the Canucks are significantly better than LA. I don't think that it's necessarily apples to apples, but if I was going to pick one, it probably was, and we did our joint articles at Oilers Nation and Canucks Army, where I kind of talked about this at CA yesterday, where I think Vancouver can have some success against the Oilers is the Oilers are still not a great team in the neutral zone. And while they did okay against LA, LA doesn't have as much skill up front in terms of like just their top six, top nine as Vancouver does. So I think if Vancouver's going to find some success against Edmonton, it's going to come in the neutral zone and carrying the puck into the zone with speed. Once they get into the Oilers zone, if they're set up, there's going to be a lot more perimeter shots probably than you guys would like to see. That's just the way Chris Knobloch's setting things up. But getting into the Oilers zone with speed is something that the Canucks probably going to be able to do at times. And if they can get the Oilers crossed up on their coverage, that's going to be a big opportunity for them. And based on the skill in the lineup for Vancouver, that's a very real possibility. So I think if it's coming to like what's a concern for me, it's just the way the Oilers are going to defend in that middle part of the ice. I think Vancouver's really good at it. We saw that in the four games in the regular season. I think that the Canucks did a great job of generating offense in transition. The Oilers have got caught giving up pucks at both blue lines more often than I'd like. If you listen to Oilers Nation radio ever, you probably hear me talking about giveaways at both blue lines, you know, more often than not. And I think the Oilers get caught with that a little bit because they like to carry the puck in. They're not a dump and chase team. So catching them at the blue lines is going to be something that the Canucks, if they can figure that out, they're going to have opportunities to counterpunch for sure. And if there's a concern for me, that is probably it. It's the two blow lines, the Oilers carrying the puck through those, and as well as the neutral zone. I think that that's where Vancouver is going to have an advantage over Edmonton. I also, you know, having home ice for four of the potential seven games, that is great for Vancouver as well. JT Miller has been really effective against Connor McDavid historically. And that's probably going to be the matchup Tocchet wants. And I get it. And I get why, because he's been effective. If JT Miller can keep the first line quiet and he's got the ability to do it, that's going to be an advantage for Vancouver as well. So JT Miller, just historically what he's done against Connor, I think that's probably going to be something that the Canucks want to lean on. And if he can do his thing, which, you know, he's proven that he can do that over the course of his NHL career, that's going to be a strong point for the Canucks for sure.
Every year, one of the holes that people like to poke with Edmonton's roster is they say they're too top heavy, nothing in the bottom six, and that there isn't enough scoring depth around McDavid and Draisaitl. The Oilers are definitely deeper than they have been in years past, but what is your confidence level that they have a strong enough bottom six, that they have enough depth around McDavid and Draisaitl to still win games if those guys are slowed down a little bit? Or because over the course of a seven-game series, there is going to be the occasional game where the Canucks find a way to slow those guys down.
Yeah, of course. I think that's a really good question. I think that for me, the depth on forward isn't my concern. We got big goals from Dylan Holloway, who was playing on the third line. The fourth line for the Oilers was really good. They didn't give up a goal at even strength the entire series against LA. So I'm not actually worried about the depth forwards so much as I am the defense. I heard before I jumped on, you guys were kind of going through the, you know, the matching up pair by pair by pair. I think that where the Canucks are going to have the advantage is not necessarily up front, because the Oilers, like you said, are deeper than they've probably been for the last three, four runs at least. I think where they're going to have an advantage is, again, with the matches, about how they match up against the defense. the nurse CC pairing, it can either be, you know, it can be solid and it can be steady and it can be quiet. And if I say quiet, I mean that as a compliment. But there's also some nights where they are just very high risk. And sometimes Darnell Nurse still gets caught with his pinching and he just puts himself way out of position, leading to odd man rushes against. And I think that if we're just talking about strictly depth up front, I'm confident. I'm confident with the group of 12 that the Oilers are going to ice, though I don't think Adam Henrique is playing tomorrow, which is obviously a big blow to the top six. Mm. But I think the depth on defense is where I'm more concerned, to kind of just pivot your question slightly.
You don't like Troy Stetcher?
I like Troy Stetcher. I think actually Quads, you know, when they picked him up at the trade deadline, you were probably one of the most glowing pundits regarding that trade. You love Troy Stetcher.
Oh yeah, we love like Troy Stetcher.
If the Canucks had gone out to get Troy Stetcher back, you would have been more excited than anybody. But yeah, I mean, if Troy Stetcher gets in, chances are that, you know, we probably got an issue. Somebody's probably hurt. And that's not a shot against Troy Stetcher. It's just that the top six group has been effective down the stretch. They were, you know, pretty steady over the last 20 games or so, and even through round one. So I think that in terms of the defense, we're just looking specifically at the pairings. Can we get simple Daryl? That's what we're calling him in Edmonton, when Darnell Nurse can just play some simple hockey, not try to pinch, not try to jump up into the rush like he's a Quinn Hughes. Just play steady defense. You'll be fine if you're simple Daryl. If we get that, they'll be okay. Daryl. If he tries to do too much, then he gets himself in trouble.
We have a lot of jokes about Darnell Nurse's gap control on this show.
Yeah, and understandably so. Like, it's one of those things where you watch him play and he's got all the tools you want from a defenseman. He's big, he's quick, he's got a good shot, he's got nice offensive instincts sometimes. But there's those gaps where he just, like, he's focused on puck watching or he's focused on offense and he just gaps completely on his defensive coverage. So it's an issue. That's why we need, again, simple Daryl. Give me simple Daryl in round two and I think we'll be fine.
All right. Any final thoughts on the series before I ask you about Caps Lock?
Final thoughts on the series. I'm just excited for it to get going. I think that having two Canadian markets go at it in round two is always a blast. Last time, for at least from our side, was when the Oilers handled the Flames 2 years ago in the second round. But that was kind of almost the inverse of what we're getting this year. Everybody expected Calgary to walk through Edmonton, and we got a gentleman sweep in five. So I'm just excited about the series in general. I'm excited to fly out to Vancouver tomorrow morning and just kind of spend some time with you boys and just cover the series the way we do it. But ultimately, I think it's going to be exciting. You've got a lot of skilled players on both lineups. I think that you're going to get some games where, like Harmon said, the depth is going to make the difference. And then we're going to have some other times where the high-end players are going to make the difference. But overall, I just think we're in for an exciting series between two fan bases that care a lot. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, Bag Milk, final question. Isn't it crazy? Did you hear my Caps Lock rant at the start of the show? Did you hear that?
No, I missed it.
Okay, so I was saying my biggest complaint is that, well, not biggest. I have a lot of complaints, and they're all quite large, but this one really grinds my gears. You get something in all caps, you can't uncapitalize it, or vice versa. You can't do that. You have to rewrite everything. You can't just highlight something and hit Caps Lock and capitalize it all or uncapitalize it all. You have to rewrite everything with Caps Lock on. Your thoughts?
Well, it's good news, Quads, because I only write in Caps Locks. I'm screaming forever into the void, into the abyss. So it really doesn't matter to me. Capitalization is irrelevant when I speak only in Caps Lock. So I think the move is just always write in Caps Locks and let people know you always mean business. You're always yelling at them whether they deserve it or not. And I think that's an important part of Caps Locks, whether you're excited or you're upset. And Quads, I can tell you're upset here. So just typing always in Caps Locks, that's the move. That's what we need to do. That's how we're going to go forward. As a humanity, we just need to get a little bit tougher. We got to toughen up our skin and get used to yelling at each other nonstop. Because going into round two, I think if we had started this practice a little while ago, we'd all be more prepared to be yelling at each other from Vancouver and from Edmonton. This is a very, very important lesson going into a series like this one. So excellent point by you, Quads. Use only Caps Locks forevermore.
There's the takeaway. And all these people in the chat telling me, oh, you can use Adobe InDesign. Do I look like I know what that is or have it on my computer? No. People, oh, yeah, you can use Excel. I shouldn't make fun of that comment. That's actually pretty useful. I use Excel. I might do that. All right, thanks for that comment, Leah D. We appreciate it. Bag Milk, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you soon. Looking forward to catching up with you when you fly up to Vancouver soon.
Thanks for having me, boys. I'll see you tomorrow.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There he is, Bag Milk of Oilers Nation. And of course, he was brought to you by Greta. Okay, Harm, you're going to do the anyone else read by the Vancouver Canadiens. You got time to pull it up because we've got a few things to get to before we get to that. One of which is our poll question, which I think we will get to right now. Our poll question is brought to you by Mr. Lube. Our poll question today, pull it up, Grady. Look at this. Look at this poll question.
It's coming. One sec.
It's coming. It's okay. It's coming.
You guys tweeted so much of the Canucks Army account that I'm seeing you scroll like...
I know, I had to scroll quite
forever
a bit.
It's on the screen.
I found it, though. Okay, Grady's got it. Perfect. Okay, so this is our poll question. Nice and simple. Will Elias Pettersson elevate his play in round two? Harm, 78.6% of people saying yes. 21.4% of people saying no.
Who voted no there on the checkbox?
Wouldn't that be you?
No,
you sent me the screenshot.
No, you didn't.
Okay, anyways.
then was it you, Grady?
It was.
Oh.
Well, I accidentally clicked no.
You know what? I'm actually kind of surprised that I would have voted no, I think. Like, here's what it comes down to for me. Will Elias Pettersson elevate his play in round two? On one hand, you look at it and say, okay, he played a little bit better in games five and in game six. You have to like that. But if there were a switch that was going to be flipped, we haven't seen it flipped yet. Is there a switch that he can just flip? Because he hasn't done it once the playoffs started, which is the last time everybody said, okay, like if we asked this question before round one against Nashville, it would be the same results. Everybody would say, yeah, Elias Pettersson's going to elevate his play. Yeah, he's not been great since the All-Star break, but he's going to elevate as soon as the playoffs start. That didn't happen against Nashville. So now, like, I don't know where, I don't have a hard stance on this. Make sure the clip reflects that, Jacob. But I'm looking at it and saying, on one hand, yes, you think he's going to be better because of what we've seen from him in the past. But on the other hand, you say, we all thought that heading into Nashville and it didn't happen. So what's different about this?
Well, the starting point is lower than where it was at the end of the regular season, because 3 points in six games, and I know the last two were kind of decent, but think about how nightmarish game two was. It wasn't just that he was ineffective. It's he's so far away from his peak. So elevating doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden he has to take games over, match what McDavid and Draisaitl are doing, and be the type of player that is going to put up, let's say, 10 points in a six-game series. Elevating his game could be as simple as playing at a point per game level. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I do.
There's And I think that's the middle ground that I think a lot of fans are at least hoping he gets to. It isn't because, look, I wouldn't have a lot of confidence that you can just suddenly go from ineffective to you're dominating in one switch, right? Maybe it happens, right? That would be the best case scenario. But if I'm being honest, I don't have a lot of confidence that he's all of a sudden going to hit that level. But can he elevate his game one sure. or two notches and at least be a driver, at least be a factor, at least win his 5-on-5 matchups? I think that's a reasonable expectation.
That was our poll question brought to you by Mr. Lube. Need a tire change or tire service? Mr. Lube provides no appointment tire service and sales. Drop by anytime for tire rotation, tire repair, and balancing. Servicing all makes and models, including electric vehicles, with 16 locations in the Lower Mainland. Find the one near you at MrLube.com. This is an interesting one about this conversation, Harm. Is Mike Lavely said, guess who no-showed against Nashville in 2011? The Sedin Twins. He will bounce back here.
Hopefully. It's a little bit different in Pedersen's case, though, because he's been struggling since the All-Star break.
That's exactly what... Yeah, like, that's what I keep coming back to, is it's just that this isn't like a, oh, you just had a bad series. It's a no. Well, yeah, you had a bad series, but... also been bad since the All-Star break.
If there was a switch to flip on, it probably would have been switched on by now.
Right? We'll see, though. It'll be fascinating. One thing that...
Stylistically, for sure, Edmonton presents a better scenario for him
sure.
to play his game.
Yendor GGB in the chat. Elias is never talking stick flex with quads again since quads has no faith in him. That's not true. I hope.
One thing that he'll have to be particularly careful about in this series is against Nashville, he had plenty of situations where he would make blind passes. And normally when he's on top of his game, he's able to connect those, right? That's part of what makes him a spot on playmaker so dangerous, is he has that spatial awareness to always know where his line mates are, always know where the opposition's sticks that might intercept a pass are. But in round one, he was making those spinning sort of blind backhand passes, and he was way off the target. And a lot of those were resulting in turnovers, like the one that led to Sissons' goal in game two, for example. You can't do that against Edmonton, right? Nikita Zadorov at practice yesterday was asked, what's one thing you can't do against the Edmonton Oilers? And he said, turn the puck over, because with some of the top end talent that they have, you turn it over, they're going to burn you on the rush.
By the time you blink, the puck is in the back of your net.
And even if Pedersen's going up against, let's say, the third line on home ice, Ryan McLeod can turn on the Jets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of offensive ability, but the one area he's going to kill you is with his speed.
Yeah.
Right? So puck management is going to be huge. And Tockett also was asked about Petey and sort of specifically mentioned you got to be careful not to make blind passes. So that's an area for him to be extra cautious about in this Oilers series.
Okay, we're going to get to anyone else. You're going to do the anyone else read, but we've got a new sponsor, and I've got a couple things to tell you about. So we're going to take a quick ad break here, and I'm going to tell you about a couple things. The first one being the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Get ready, because each game day, you're going to answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards while each round's champs pocket cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Okay, now, time for a word from helpstartshere.gov.bc.ca. We've all heard of the overdose crisis, also known as the toxic drug crisis, but did you know that it affects men disproportionately? Last year, 78% of people dying here in BC were men, and the majority were 30 to 59-year-olds. It's not easy to struggle with addiction, and the stigma around it can make it harder for people to reach out for help. But there is help and support available. Every journey is different, and the thing that helps might not be the same for everyone. So when someone does reach out, be compassionate and have open, non-judgmental conversations. We here at Canucks Conversation want to be part of the solution. If you or someone you care about is struggling, you can find support and services near you at helpstartshere.gov.bc.ca. You can also watch powerful real-life stories of recovery on the Help Starts Here website. Take it away. Let's get to anyone else.
It's time for anyone else, presented by the Vancouver Canadiens. The Vancouver Canadiens are back at the Nat. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday nooners, and superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. The Seas are giving away a record of 33 giveaways this season. That includes 6 koozies giveaway for the first 6 Saturdays of the season from all their beer partners, and a giveaway every Sunday for Family Fun Sunday for kids 12 and under. The Canadians are back at the Nat today for a full homestand that includes a superstar appearance from Marco Estrada, a nooner at the Nat on the 10th, and a Family Fun Sunday on the 12th, where kids 12 and under can run the bases. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com.
Speaking of Marco Estrada.
Boy, that you just crushed that ad.
Yeah, you did awesome.
See, look what happens when you sabotage me with the wrong script.
That one day, I'm going to do that again. I'm just going to start writing nonsense at the end of it and just see. Anyways, speaking of Marco Estrada, what are your thoughts on Aaron Sanchez signing a minor league deal with the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday?
Is that the same Aaron Sanchez that used to be a
stud
with them?
Yes, it is. I'm so glad you knew that.
Dude, yeah. I thought he was going to be so dominant.
I know, everybody
remember
did.
When they had him? Did they have Stroman. Syndergaard for a while?
Well, Syndergaard was in the R.A. Dickey trade back to
right,
the Mets.
Yeah, I was so excited from... Honestly, I'm not going to lie. This was when I actually kind of followed baseball.
Yeah,
I know R.A. Dickey was really going to understand why they traded for him, but I was so pissed because I had such high hopes for Syndergaard.
Did you see Syndergaard? Like, Syndergaard was a Vancouver Canadian. I never actually got to see him in person.
I didn't.
Okay. Anyways.
Anyway, that was my like little mini era where I actually followed baseball a little bit.
Your first one. This is your second one that we're in.
Absolutely not.
You're entering it.
Absolutely
You're
not.
Entering it. You just gave out some Aaron Sanchez analysis. So.
Former Vancouver Canadian Aaron Sanchez.
That's right. Yeah, there's so many. You know, you go up and down the list. Alek Manoah. Hell, he might be back here soon. Okay. yeah, let's get to anyone else. There's a lot. There's a lot in the chat, so let's get to it. How do I get this? Whole
By the way, before we get to the question, just a couple points on the series that I sort of wanted to emphasize. First, when I was looking at the series first statistically, at a surface level, it concerned me a little bit that, for example, you look at the LA Kings and they were the third best team in the regular season at preventing goals against, better than the Vancouver Canucks. And seeing that the Oilers still average 4.4 goals per game, I was thinking, man, the Oilers just eviscerated a Kings team that is so stifling defensively. Like, that's concerning. But as I thought about it more stylistically and from an X's and O's perspective, one reason that I have a little bit more confidence in the Canucks being able to slow the Oilers down at 5-on-5 is you think about how the Kings defend, right? It's the 1-3-1. First, the Oilers have had experience with that, considering it was the third time in the playoffs. By now they know the book on how to navigate around that. But also, secondly, the disadvantage of the 1-3-1 is you're passively defending. So what that does is it gives Edmonton easy zone exits, easy breakouts. They basically gain the red line with ease
and speed while your opponent's flat-footed.
Whereas I think what the Canucks can do is so much of their defensive effectiveness begins with their forecheck, applying up ice pressure. And one thing that I'm going to be watching for, this whole idea of how do you slow McDavid down in the neutral zone? How do you stop him off the rush? I think it starts with Vancouver's forecheck disrupting Edmonton's breakout, giving them all sorts of troubles on defensive zone retrievals. Because in that scenario, McDavid doesn't have a chance to wind up in the first place. It's like a supply chain, right? How is McDavid supposed to create off the rush if the puck doesn't get from the defenseman to the forwards?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you want to talk about why the Canucks had so much success against McDavid early on. And we were discussing how JT Miller's slowing McDavid seems to have his number. It's not because one-on-one Miller's doing something exceptional or different against McDavid. It's that the Miller line was making it impossible for Edmonton to cleanly break the puck out. They were stuck in their own end. And because of that, McDavid couldn't get going off the rush.
Yeah, and that's why you're going to see lopsided numbers.
That's something LA can do because they don't apply up ice pressure.
That's really interesting.
Because their blue line, as we've talked about, outside of the Matthias Ekholm, Evan Bouchard pair, which of course we'll see a lot of shifts alongside McDavid, but second and third pairs are a weakness. And I think that's where the Canucks will look to expose some vulnerabilities.
Yeah, and this is what's so interesting to me, Harm, is it's just that, you brought it up yesterday, 12 even strength goals for the Kings and the Oilers in that series. The power play made such a difference. And I don't think we've talked nearly enough about the power play. I think we've talked about the matchups. I think we've talked about the even strength play. And hell, even Bagged Milk, when he was on the show earlier, said he thinks it's going to be close at even strength. And there's a lot of X factors for the Canucks at even strength. But I think it's going to be very important for the Canucks to stay out of the penalty box above all else.
Well, this is also where yesterday I was talking about there's going to be a really important factor outside of both teams' control that is going to dictate and have a large influence on the series. It's going to be the officiating standard. It's how many power plays are they going to give each team? Is this going to be the type of series where each team gets 3, 4, 5, 6 power plays a game, in which case that heavily favors Edmonton, or are they going to let both teams kind of quote-unquote play, and each team only gets 1 to 3 power plays a game, a lot of even strength action? It also would give the Canucks more of an opportunity to clutch and grab a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, if you think about, do you remember the, I think it may have been the 2021 first-round series where Edmonton lost to Winnipeg? And so much of it was the Jets were basically clutching and grabbing McDavid a lot, and they got away with it, right? And that heavily favored them. They won that series, and of course, afterwards, I think McDavid was complaining about the officiating standard. It got a little bit better, but it's like, what type of standard is there going to be, A, and B, how many penalties are they calling on each side? And this is why I think the games early in the series are going to be more difficult than the games later in the series. Like, the longer the Canucks can muck it up and just drag the series along, the more it's going to work in their favor, because the later a series goes on, the fewer penalties are called. Like, that's statistically kind of proven.
Interesting.
You think about Game 7 in Dallas and Vegas. Each team only had one power play. Game 7 between Boston and Toronto. Toronto had one power play, Boston had two. Same thing sort of starts to happen around Game 5, Game 6. It's the start of a series where officials will quote-unquote try and call things to a standard, set the standard, and they give each team a lot of power plays. They then deviate from that the longer series goes on, because from a ref's game management standpoint, they don't want to decide the outcome of a series by calling a lot of penalties. So that's something that I'm really going to be watching for, is because yeah, it's part of the onus is on the Canucks to be disciplined.
Yep.
But part of it is also going to come down to, what are you going to call penalty? What are you going to let go?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be very interesting to see. I stand by it. 7. Canucks in 7. But if the Oilers are going to win, it's going to be 6. Oilers ain't winning in 7.
We'll see. I still think the Oilers have a better chance of winning the series, but I'm not writing the Canucks off by any means. I'm higher on them. I think they have a better chance of winning than a lot of the analytical models and the betting markets have them at. And again, it's sort of like the biggest edge in this series is special teams, because with Edmonton, it's not just that in the first round they were operating at nearly 50% against the second ranked LA penalty kill in the regular season, but also Edmonton's PK was perfect. And in years past, Edmonton's penalty kill has been a weakness. It doesn't look that way right now. And from Vancouver's perspective, their power play has been struggling. Mm-hmm. Like, how much confidence do you really have that the Canucks power play can get going? It was at 15.4%. It was the lowest power play percentage of any team that advanced to round 2.
I'm really curious about shot blocks in this series. That's one thing I wanted to touch on. The Oilers blocked a lot of shots against LA. That seemed to hurt the Canucks when they played against the Nashville Predators. From a shot producing perspective, how do you think the Canucks are going to fare in this series? Shots on goal, Harm, not shot chances, not their wide shots, because they took a lot of those against the Predators. What's it actually going to look like in this series?
Their offense unquestionably has to step up, right? Because they were able to limit Nashville to 2 goals per game, and so they could get away with winning despite not scoring a lot. Even if the Canucks defend well, they're going to have to manufacture more offense to win this series, I think. Now, of course, part of that will come down to the power play. And look, if you get an extra goal here and there on the man advantage, maybe you don't even need to generate that much more at 5-on-5. But it has to be, at least, you got to step up in one of those areas. If it isn't the power play, then it has to be at even strength, where you ratchet up a notch That's, of course, where a lot of the attention is going to be on Elias Pettersson. That's where you're going to need big moments from the Lindholm-Joshua Garland line. And stylistically, they just need to find a way to execute better, and that's in a lot of facets. Of course, part of it is adjusting to what are you going to do when the opposition fronts a lot of shots aggressively. Part of it is going to be, like, they had chances in Nashville that they would just miss the net on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, part of it is just your finishing has to be more precise. And one thing Tockett mentioned is really important for this series yesterday at practice was they can't take bad angled shots and miss the net because the puck is going to rim around, and that's going to be basically the same thing as a turnover.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a chance to counterattack. So you cannot miss the net, right? That they have to execute much better in that department. And then we'll see. We'll see if Edmonton gives them opportunities to counterattack off the rush, because when these teams met in the regular season, and I don't put a ton of stock into, oh, the Canucks were 4-0 against the Oilers, but sometimes they have lapses where Edmonton themselves start turning pucks over. They get a little bit sloppy defending in the neutral zone. And so could that give the Canucks a window of opportunity to get some looks off the rush? Those are some of the factors that I'm going to be looking at.
Okay, the Canucks practice today. Elias Pettersson didn't practice. Maintenance day, right, is what I saw?
I haven't seen that. My Wi-Fi is kind of in and out.
Grady, you tell me if I'm
wrong.
He
was sick, apparently.
Sick, okay. Okay. I don't even want to read it. It's stupid. I'm going to read it. Anyone else? Is Pettersson going to become our Pierre-Luc Dubois / Mitch Marner?
No, stop
no
it.
Chance.
Don't put that evil on
no,
him.
No, I'm not. And hey, what I was saying earlier wasn't meant to be like, oh, I don't believe in Elias Pettersson, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying that the overwhelming, and I get their fans, I get it. You want, the question wasn't, what do you want to see Elias Pettersson turn around? Is do you think he actually will? That's why I started to ask the question of, yeah, okay, if there were a switch to flip, wouldn't it have already been flipped? And I hope I'm wrong, obviously, because Trevor Linden was on Rinkwide Vancouver yesterday, and he talked a lot about Elias Pettersson and basically said if Pettersson doesn't get going, the Canucks won't win this series. I think that's a pretty good way to look at this series. All in all, they need Pettersson to be one of their best players.
100%. He's also such a key on that power play. From that right flank, part of getting the man advantage going is having Pettersson become a legit threat from the right flank. It's been a long time since teams have had to really worry about Elias Pettersson on power play, right? Because when the Canucks are scoring, when they are generating offense, it's through Miller and Besser primarily, right? And of course, Hughes quarterbacks, he's important for entries, keeping pucks in, walking the blue line. He's doing his job. But the issue that's kind of eluded the Canucks is getting Pettersson going from the right flank and finding the right solution for that fourth forward on the unit as well.
Okay, here's the clip of Trevor Linden talking on Rinkwide Vancouver yesterday. He joined Irfan Gafar and Jeff Pettersson.
Played much better in game five. But you know, for them to have any sort of chance, he's gotta be their best player or one of them. And I just don't, and you're gonna go through times where you're not feeling it or not seeing it. But for me, Elias just isn't in the fight. And you know what I mean? And let's be honest here, playoff hockey is about, it's a war. I mean, you know, and you see how some of these guys are approaching. It's an all-out battle. And it's not so much about, you know, making plays. It's about just competing. And you know, and it's just, for me, when I watch Elias, he's just got to get in the fight. And he's capable of that bit. But they will not win this series if they don't have him as one of their best players.
You can listen to that full episode anywhere you get your podcast or on the Rinkwide Vancouver YouTube channel. Bang on. I think bang on.
That was a really good point, too, about it's not just what plays are you making with the puck.
Yeah, are you making highlight reels? Level, exactly.
Right? He's been getting knocked off the puck a little bit easily. Are you winning your 50-50 battles along the walls? Are you able to make a high number of defensive stops to change possession, help your line, get up the ice? It's a lot of those little areas, too, where he's been off a little bit. And again, I think he was a little bit more assertive, a little bit more engaged physically in games 5 and 6. But there's another gear for him to reach from that perspective, too.
Okay. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting series. It's going to be a very, Very interesting series, and it kicks off tomorrow night. Let's get to our Bet365 bet of the day. And like I said, folks, we'll be here tomorrow to preview game one. It's going to be a good one, folks. It's going to be a good one. But let's get to our Bet365 bet of the day, brought to you by Bet365, a proud partner of Canucks Conversation. Open an account with Bet365 today and bet on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Be sure to use code VANBONUS when you sign up for an account. Okay, our Bet365 bet of the day is for tomorrow's game right now. Quinn Hughes to log two or more points at plus 290 odds. I'm expecting the Canucks captain to come out, make it a statement game for game one of this series. Hey, if the Canucks get a power play goal, good chance Quinn Hughes is picking up a point on it. 20 goal bet is over, unfortunately. I don't know. I think however long the season goes, if he has 20 cumulative goals, I should get dinner.
Nah, that's not the way it works, buddy.
Did whatever. You specify?
No, I didn't. But I am now.
Yeah, once you've already lost the bet and paid up on it.
Yeah.
Must be 90 plus to play. If you choose to play, please play responsibly.
You have the fine print of that bet somewhere where you can just kind of...
Yeah, but if he doesn't get 2 points...
Terms and conditions.
Yeah, if he doesn't get 2 points tomorrow, I want it to be points for his entire playoff run. All right. We'll close it out there. For my co-host, Harmon Dyler, our technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is Equal Trelli. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Canucks Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back, and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.